You are listening to In the Blood, the podcast where we focus the spotlight on composers and songwriters in the world of video games. Video game composers have been left in the dark for far too long, and I will fight until the best music award is handed out during the Game Awards main show and not the pre-show. It's a new thing I'm going to do this year. I'm going to say it every show. My name is Morgan Barnes, and my goal, as always, is to break down the incredible work of these composers and the pieces of music that have affected me the most. Give you, the listener, some really cool behind-the-scenes information on your favorite games and the music that's in those games as well. And, of course, find out what runs in these composers' blood. Their inspirations, their influences, their musical souls. Joining us this week is a man living in the shadows, as we joked about before the podcast, of so many giants in the gaming industry and composers. A new composer, someone who still works a day job that I think we can all relate to. Enrique Martin joins us today. How are you doing, Enrique?
Hello, thank you very much for having me. I'm great, thanks.
I'm looking forward to this. I think this is going to be a really cool show. And it's funny, I'll use it as a teaser, but right before we started, you were like, I need to give you a heads up. You know, I'm not really a full-time composer. You said you don't even consider yourself a composer, which is silly because, you composed a video game, so you are right there along the rest of them. As far as I'm concerned, was Cyber Shadow the big game that inspired me to contact you? Is that the first game you've ever written any music for, Enrique?
No, I've worked in other games before Cyber Shadow, or at least at the same time as Cyber Shadow, because I've been working on this game for like 6 years now before release.
Oh my god.
Yeah, it took really long. That's what's happened what happens with small development teams. You know, when we're just the developer and the musician, it usually takes a lot of time to manufacture a well done product. So I was telling you that I'm not I don't consider myself at least a professional composer, because I don't make my living out of making music or making music for games. And I have my day job. I'm a lawyer by day, musician by night, and that's more or less it. Yeah.
Hey, look, man, there's a lot to unpack there, Enrique. That stuff is really interesting. And I'm very passionate about everything we do at Sword Chomp, but the interviews I do, I absolutely have a day job too. I mean, I'm almost 40 years old as well, and I work a bunch of jobs. I have 3 jobs. I watch my kids. You know, it's I know what that struggle is like. But you never know. You know, all it takes is some of these compositions you wrote, like for Cyber Shadow or something, to take off. And unless you want to be a lawyer, unless you prefer, would you rather be a lawyer? Or would you rather be able to write music all day?
If I had a chance, if I could choose, I would definitely go the musician way. You know. That's the professional path I'd like to take, but you know, life is what it is, and that's what I've been given, at least for the moment.
How long have you been a lawyer?
For like all my life, like I don't know, I'm 40 years old now, like for 20 years or something like that.
20 years, wow.
15 years, yeah.
Okay. Well, I imagine, yeah, that's a very solid look. I'm struggling. I'm working like 3 not so great jobs. So I would imagine, though, you probably went to school for quite a while to be a lawyer.
It's 5 years was 5 years in Spain. Now it's 4 years. But when I studied laws, it was 5 year studies. Yeah.
Okay. And, Are you more of a solitary human being? Do you have any kids, family, anything? Or
yes,
like
I have
that?
A baby born 10 months old.
Oh, congratulations. Very
thank
cool.
you. Thank you very much.
He's
a real joy, like... both day and night, especially night.
Oh, yeah. Anytime you're trying to write music or work on stuff around the cycle of kids. So you said 10 months old.
Yeah.
I have a 15-month-old. My third is a 15-month-old, so I know. I couldn't say that properly. 15-month-old.
You know the whole experience.
I do. I really do. Arza refuses to sleep in her crib, so I don't know if you're having that problem
yet. Same here. Yeah.
Yeah. I just like to sleep with you more. Yeah, but that's always makes it an interesting challenge. But I imagine being a lawyer would at least, it sounds, I'm not trying to be presumptuous, but it sounds like something that would have at least paid well enough for you to hopefully maybe have time to get more time to write music. I assume you've been probably writing music most of your whole life as well, maybe?
Yes. I've been playing, you know, I started playing music with bands. Like, mm-hmm. I played with a metal band for like 12 years, 13 years.
A metal band?
When
very
I was
nice.
Younger. Yeah, metal band, yeah. And then I played in other bands at the same time, in a something like a power pop band and
were you the screamer in the metal band?
Yes, of course we had a screamer. Yeah,
oh, okay,
a grunter, and it was a female voiced like gothic, something between gothic and dark metal stuff. Pretty cool. I have a super good time. By then, I was the keyboard player of the band, and all mm-hmm. in you know, I am a keyboard player, so I played keyboards in all those bands. And when it came a point in my life where I didn't really have the time to keep on playing with bands, and I always wanted to make music by myself. I did my own compositions for those bands, and you know, we played my songs and other people's songs, of course. Yeah. But I wanted to make my thing, so I decided to go solo, and I quitted all the bands, and I decided to start making music. And as I am a super huge video game lover, I decided to start making music for video games.
Yeah, that's really cool. I mean, how does that transition for you, someone who has never really written for a game before? How do you get in contact with people? How do you get your music out there to where someone like a publisher or like Yacht Club Games would become aware of your music?
Actually, that's I think that it's a pretty funny story. I when I decided to quit my, you know, my main band, I was like, you know, like a little, I feel like some void. I don't know if I explain myself correctly. You know, I felt a little empty. And I think that it was like December 2016 or something like that. And then I was invited by some very good friends to do a scuba diving trip to the Canary Islands here in Spain. I don't scuba dive because I hate the idea of getting deep in the sea. But I, you know, I have a lot of fun with them, and I decided to go with them. And while they were scuba diving, I had a lot of time to, you know, to walk around the islands and stuff. And also to play games on my Nintendo 3DS that I carried with myself. And by then, I was thinking about making music and trying to make music for games. And I was playing Shovel Knight, actually.
Mm-hmm. Shovel Knight, yeah.
Yeah. And I played through all the game during those vacation. And I finished the game. And when I was listening to the ending track of Shovel Knight, which is, you know, this huge, super cool medley of all the sounds, all the songs of the in the game, I said to myself, that's what I want to make. You know, I want to make, of course, I knew chiptune before that, and I tried to, I made music for with my Game Boy for playing with one of my bands and this kind of stuff. But I decided to make that kind of music after playing and completing Shovel Knight. And it's fun that after, you know, the twists of life, I ended up working with Yacht Club Games that actually made that game. And you asked me how we got in contact with Yacht Club Games. I mean, I always found all my gigs, all the games I work with on Twitter. Speaking with directly talking with developers. that showed their jobs, so their work in progress games in Twitter. So when I just saw an interesting project, I tried to talk with them and ask them if they had a composer. And they would, most of the times, they would tell me that, yes, I have a composer, I'm not interested, thank you, I will talk to you later and stuff. And one of those guys was Arne Hunziker, the developer of Cyber Shadow. Mm-hmm. I saw one GIF picture that he posted on Twitter, and I said, oh my god, this is, you know, this is the thing for me, that's the game I want to make music for. Because I'm a huge fan of the Ninja Gaiden franchise, and Ninja Gaiden Shadow or Shadow Warriors for the Game Boy is one of my favorite games of in all time. And I asked him to if he was interested to collaborate. He said that it was okay, that if I wanted to give him some. Try something, or he would send me
a sample or a demo or something.
Yeah, he sent me I asked him for a video of a record video of the first level or whatever he had to get more or less the mood of the thing, and he sent me a video, which is actually not that common, because people that have projects that they are working in, that they tend to be a little bit obscure with them. They don't want to share, at least this kind of developers that I'm working with, they refuse to share their jobs and to send you builds and this kind of stuff.
Yeah, very private kind of, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. But he was really open in that aspect, and he sent me a video, and so I composed something that I thought that would fit that first. It was a video of the first stage of the game. He liked it. And we continued to work. It's actually not at all the stage one music that you can hear now, because
it's not what it ended up being.
Yeah, because it didn't have anything to see that first stage he sent me didn't have anything to see with the current stage one. So yeah, that's how we started to collaborate, and then it came Yacht Club Games that showed their interest in the game when the game was, you know, like 50% done or something like that. And
because of course they came along later to publish it once the game looked like it was going to be something pretty cool, of course.
Yeah,
so,
yeah, yeah.
And you were already attached at that point, basically.
Yeah, it
that
was cool.
So what was your excitement level like when you've been working on this thing for a long time, and all of a sudden you're like, oh my god, it's the Shovel Knight people. Please
yeah, that's
yes.
what
Please
I thought. and at the beginning, Arne was like, nah, I don't want to have a publisher. I'd rather publish it myself. And I said, dude, focus. You know, it's Yacht Club Games, dude.
This is Yacht Club Games. This
you
is,
know, yeah. It's the guys that made Shovel Knight. Come on. And yeah, he decided to. Well, I think that it's not because of me, but he
no,
needed
you should
to
be taking credit for that. It's because of you.
Not at all. But yeah, he decided to go with them, and I think it was a really good idea, because they offered a lot of you know, their expertise in the platforming games and their experience with that that title, you know, all the Shovel Knight franchise, and they did
a good job getting the game out to people like us too as well, and
yeah of course,
yeah, that, and I mean they're the perfect developer or the perfect publisher to handle a game like that. I mean,
absolutely
that's really cool. Well, this will be a perfect I like to play a little clip, so this will be a perfect time after that wonderful story to play a little clip. Probably play like 40 seconds of it. That's the first stage music right there. Boom.
Yeah.
But not the music you sent him for the demo, you said.
No, it doesn't have really anything to see with that. You know, I and it's a, there's a fun story behind it because I you know, that first track I sent him, it was intended to be like the... It was intended to have the main motif or the main theme of the game, and then I used that main theme that was in that first track I sent him for the rest of, or for many other tracks in the game. But that it happens that when Yacht Club Games came in and they started to give feedback to the developer, he started to change stage one, and that first track I did, it was like really moody, and you know, because it was that first stage was like very dark, and the pace was not definitely as high as it is now. There weren't as many enemies. You could just like walk through this destroyed world and all. And
it was kind of just setting the tone of the game.
Yeah, in a much more calm way. So I, you know, yeah. The music I made was much more calm, much more, you know, moody, and there was this motif that I wanted to use in the rest of the game. And then when the state changed, they told me, dude, you need to change the music too. And I said, okay, let's change the music. So I tried to preserve that motif in all the tracks I sent him. But when I sent him like the sixth track, trying to preserve that motif, and it was rejected, I like said, okay, let's totally forget about this bad idea. Let's do something totally different. Let's do a pumping track, and that's what the actual track is. You know,
yeah,
because
like
that,
right when you start the game, it's like it just gets you going in that like really,
yeah, that was the idea.
It's like a hype. It's like a hype track.
Yeah, yeah. Even if I lost my motif, I think that it ended up being, you know, I think that it's the track that people are enjoying the most of the soundtrack. Maybe, yeah.
The first one, you think so? Okay.
Yeah, I think that at least that's what...
That's because most people can't get past the first level because the game is so hard. So you just hear...
Yeah,
the first,
maybe it's because of that.
You just hear the first song over and over again. And
yeah,
so,
maybe it's because of that, yeah.
That's. It took me a while. Like, I, in full disclosure, I love the game and I love the soundtrack so much to get in touch with you, but I'm stuck. I cannot beat that stupid mecha dragon boss.
Really?
Yeah, that thing is giving me... I watched a guide. Someone was standing under the dragon and slicing it its gills, and I tried it a couple of days ago, and I was just like, I need to take a break because I was getting too mad, too frustrated. Did the game give you any problems at all, or because you love a lot of those classic retro games, you were okay with the challenge? Or
yes, of course. I've completed the game as many times that I can't even remember. because of course I needed to go through all the levels, you know, before trying to compose anything. I like playing the game and trying to, you know, sometimes they give you videos of the game or footage of the game, but if I have the chance, I prefer playing the game and knowing, you know, what the pace is, and that seems important to me to know what's the feeling if you want to write music, and especially this kind of music, you know, looping music. You need to know if that section is going to be really different, really difficult. If you're going to die a lot in that section, then the loop needs to be shorter. You know, there are lots of decisions to be taken depending of how the game plays. So yeah, I played the game a lot and I finished it like I can't remember how many times I completed it.
Billions of times.
But I had fun all the times.
Yeah, yeah. No, it's a great game. I mean, like I said, I'm going to finish it. It was just giving me a lot of hell. But that's I'm telling you, look, no matter how much you try to play test that, someone like me, I'm gonna die on every section a lot. I'm just gonna die on every section a lot, but I like that. It's like I said, I love the game, and I love the music. That's a tricky thing though, right? Like you said, with looping, like writing with repetition in mind, because you know, video games are very unique in that way. Like if you're sitting in a theater and you're watching a scene and the score is playing, when the scene is over, the scene is over. Like in a video game, it's you die, you could die and die and die and die, and you could be going through that over and over and over again. And you're writing with like a different mentality. Not to mention, you're writing in a retro style game. Like, well, that's a good question for you. Like, whenever you were writing this, it's very intentionally trying to sound like a game that we would have grown up with, like from the NES era or a Ninja Gaiden or something like that. Do you? Go ahead.
No, I was just gonna say that yes and no. I mean, I try to get the player in a state of mind that he like remembers if he has played that kind of games. Of course, if the audience of the player is like our age, like, you know, more than 30 years old, or, you know, he has played like the classic games, I would like to put him in a position that he would remember those games he played in his youth. But mm-hmm. I always try to make music that can be appreciated also by a younger audience. I mean, that's a difficult balance to get, but that's what I try, and that's what I try to mix, you know, modern stuff from modern music with this old retro style music. Of course, also using the sound palette or a similar sound palette to the NES or, you know, the Game Boy or that kind of games. Yeah.
When you're looking for like a sound palette that's similar to like NES games, was that stuff you were already writing with? Do you go and seek, were you doing research like, oh, they used a lot of this sound back in the NES, so I need to find this instrument or?
Yeah. One of the decisions I needed to take before starting to compose the music was if I was gonna respect all the restrictions of the original hardware, for instance, the Game Boy or the Nintendo NES. You know, there's a lot of software like Famitracker or LSDJ, programs that allow you to make real sounding NES music or Game Boy music, because you are just emulating the hardware and you're writing with using programming the sound chip of those machines. But I decided to avoid using those programs because of the restrictions. You know, I wanted to sound like an NES, but you know, like you would remember how an NES soundtrack actually sounds.
Yeah, because our memories can kind of lie to us sometimes.
Yeah, that's my point. I mean, if you remember like the sound, the music of Castlevania, and you haven't played Castlevania for like the last 20 years, if you play the Castlevania soundtrack right now, you would probably be shocked because you remembered it differently.
You remembered it when it was more cutting edge.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. That's it. Yeah. That's the feeling I wanted to transmit. You know, what you would think that is an NES soundtrack in 2020, but it isn't actually that.
Exactly.
Because the music I'm making, I'm doing it with a very modern digital audio workstation. I'm using effects that would be impossible to use in a Nintendo NES or in a Game Boy. Another instruments that wouldn't be possible to use in an NES. And you know, but the feeling is like you were listening to a retro sounding soundtrack.
Yeah, yeah, and it fits right in with a lot of those cyber games, or whether that sort of theme. Like, I remember with a lot of these games for me when I first, like, for example, the Hotline Miami soundtrack got me into synthwave. I had never even heard of synthwave before.
Yeah, like, pretty cool soundtrack. And,
yeah, it's amazing. Are you familiar with the Hotline Miami soundtrack?
Yeah, sure. Yeah,
it's like one of those legendary mixtape soundtrack kind of things, right? And this, you know, this kind of music, I think, is great. A lot of the one funny thing that is When this first came out, we had this debate on our main podcast, because when we would Google the Cyber Shadow, it would say that Jake Kaufman was the composer. It said that for a while.
Yeah.
At various places, and we're like, wait a second, no, this is not right. And Jake Kaufman is the Shovel Knight composer.
Yeah, that's another fun story. As I told you before, when Yacht Club Games came in, the music was almost half done, and the game was almost half done. They told me, or they told the developer, the developer told me that it would be cool if Jay Kaufman produced the soundtrack. Like, you know, I had some cool music, but if he could enhance it or give it his touch. And of course I said, okay, I don't have any problem about that. And you know, he's a super good composer. He's like my chiptune hero. He's super good, and I would be delighted to work with him.
Yeah.
But you know, I continued composing music for the rest of the game, and then we reached a point when where everybody said that my music was fine, like it was. And they decided to go with it. But, you know, all the marketing was already done. So in every place, there's Cyber Shadow with music by Enrique Martin, produced by Jake Kaufman. So, okay, that's not true.
So he didn't end up producing any of it?
No. The only thing he produced was the music for the first trailer. The first trailer of the game had one. He took some of the tracks from stage one and other parts of the game, and he did a really super cool job that I really appreciated and love. But that's his only contribution to the actual soundtrack of the game. Yeah,
that is really cool. See that. That makes a lot more sense. Well, great job then. If you did, so you mixed it and all by yourself and everything?
Yeah, the only thing that I didn't do by myself was the mastering. I don't like mastering my own music, because that's you know, there are some lots of technical stuff involved that I'm not comfortable with.
Yes,
so I try to avoid doing my own masters. I know that that's a bit weird, especially for a guy like me that would should do all by himself, but I prefer working with some sound engineers that know what they do and know how to take the 100% of my music. So I usually work with a friend of mine that does my masters. Yeah. But yeah, the rest of the music is composed, recorded, and mixed and produced by myself. Yeah,
that is really cool. Yeah, man, that is a very interesting sort of full circle from playing Shovel Knight. By the way, I'm afraid of the ocean as well, so I would have also been on the beach playing Shovel Knight or whatever, because the ocean is terrifying. Yeah, and having those moments are really cool, and then having it come full circle like that, having Yacht Clubs pick it up, that's a really cool story. Have you been able to hear if the game has been? I mean, look, I'm just on the outside. It seems like it's doing well, but have you been able to? Has it been doing well as far as like?
Yes, it's been doing well. Yeah, we're all of us are pretty happy with the result of the game, with the reception of the game. Yeah,
well enough to quit being a lawyer. That's
no, not yet.
Probably quite a bit.
You know, if that kind of decision shouldn't be taking
That would be scary. That could be scary.
Yeah, I shouldn't be taken with, you know, with only one successful thing in mind. You know, that that needs to that kind of decision is pretty hard to take. You know, if I was flooded with job offers, I would think of it. But you know, that's not the case.
That's true. That's true. I mean, you gotta. Maybe it will be the case. You know, sooner or later, but yeah, I think this will be a good point. Let's play one more quick track here from the soundtrack. One thing I really loved about this soundtrack, I will say for me personally, I love chiptune music as well, but not as much as probably a lot of people do, weirdly enough. I think the Shovel Knight soundtrack is amazing. I'm with you 100% on that. And I have a great respect for it, but this soundtrack really, really connected with me, I think, more than a lot of those had, which is why I reached out to you for a couple reasons. One, I just think the melodies are great, but it's very infectious. Like, there's all those little hooks, like at that part right there, that was just playing. Doo, 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 doo. Yeah, there's so many like little hooks and melody lines in this game that will just get buried in your head.
Yeah, that's that was the intention.
Just that was the idea. Just stuck in there, which is very much like what you remember being a kid, right? Playing a game and then having the song stuck in your head,
absolutely,
all day long.
Yeah, absolutely. That was the idea. You know, I wanted to. Because if you have a game like this where you're gonna die a lot, one of the first decisions was to know if the music would stop or it would continue playing when you die. You know, that's a pretty important decision concerning what you need to compose. Because if you're,
'cause it starts over every single time. Yeah.
Yeah. You know, for example, you've got Celeste, or Celeste, I don't know how is it pronounced.
Yes, I'm from Lena Raine's work. Yeah,
yeah. In Celeste, the music does, if I'm not wrong, it doesn't restart when you die. Because you die in really quickly. And the music doesn't restart because it would be really annoying to have the music restarting all the time, chopping all the time. So loops are longer, are really long loops because you're going to die a lot and you need to be pumped by the music. And but here in Cyber Shadow, you die a lot, of course, but you don't die so regularly. So
I did. I'm just kidding.
Well, but you kind of don't die in the first 2 seconds or 3 seconds of the when you're dying,
like
you can do in Celeste.
Yeah, yeah.
So we took the decision of stopping the music. So loops needed to be short, needed to catch you before you die and to keep you wanting for more, and especially not being pushed out of the game when you die and you restart again. And that's why I try to make music like interesting, like having a melody that's sounding all the time to try catching you and try to get your attention and try to make you want more, and so it doesn't bother you too much to die and try again.
Yeah. Well, I definitely think you succeeded there, and that makes a lot of sense from philosophical standpoint as far as design. Yeah, that's a good point, because in games like Super Meat Boy or Celeste, it's such an instantaneous death and there's so much of it that it would be really jarring if the music was just abruptly stopping every time. But in Cyber Shadow,
we were just over the edge of that decision. You know, it was like, what should we do? Should we? But it has a lot of impact in the composition process, because the approach is totally different. So I would, if the music didn't stop when you die, I would have done probably a totally different soundtrack.
Well, and I think too, from my personal opinion, when, even though I died a lot in the game as well, the pacing, like you said, is different. For example, whenever I'm playing Cyber Shadow well, I'm usually very slow, very deliberate, which is weird because it's a ninja game, right? But it, because everything can kill you in just a couple hits, I'm usually very careful. I'm moving through the levels very meticulously, very cautiously. Hmm. So it's not like a constant... I think it works well, but I can see the difficulty there in making that decision.
You know, the game is, as the Arne himself says, the game is conceived with two ways of playing in mind. You know, you have the first way of playing, that is the one that you have described, that you go slowly and watching and deciding what you're going to do. And there's the... second way of playing, that is rushing through it and going like, you know, like Rambo through it.
Yeah, Rambo.
And that's you know, when you really play well, and in the later stages of the game, when you have all your skills unlocked, you decide to go that way. It's really satisfying. So it should allow you to the gameplay should allow you to play that way too.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah, it's an incremental in that way. Like, you have those moments, like, when you first get, like, a double jump or something like that, and it sort of changes the feel of the game. You play... So I know you were saying you were playing Shovel Knight, but do you, between being a lawyer and writing music now, do you have enough time in having a child? Do you have enough time to still play games? Do you keep up with games a lot, or...?
Yeah, definitely. I've been a video game player all my life, and I will... die playing games. I'm you know, I try to play both AAA games and indie games and retro console games. I'm a video game collector too. I try to play everything when I have the time. I've been, you know, I don't have the time to put like 200 hours in the last Final Fantasy, but I try to play as much as I can. I'm playing, for instance, I'm playing like Cyberpunk right now.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And I've put like, you know, 50 hours or something like that. It's the game that I've played the most, like in the last 10 years or something like that.
Yeah, 50 hours is a lot. Yeah, I put about 50 hours in Cyberpunk too, I think.
Yeah.
And I still only had like a little bit of it done. I was like, I'll probably wait until they do the PS5 upgrade because I want to get everything in there. But that's one of those daunting games, right? Where you're enjoying it, but you're like, oh man, I need 100 hours of free time.
Yeah, that's it. I've been playing it like since it came out. So, you know, and on a really regular basis, the time I have to play it. Because probably if I were in my 20s, I would play like all the weekend long, and I can't do that anymore.
Just sit in a pile of your own filth and play video games all weekend.
Yeah, right? That's it. But unfortunately, that can't be done anymore.
I hear that, my friend. Just wait. Down the road, when you have three kids, we'll talk about how it's just.
Yeah,
it becomes
I can't
even
difficult. Conceive that.
It's interesting. What would you, from last year, do you have any personal favorite game of the year? What were some of your favorites?
Definitely Cyberpunk. Well, it's you know, it's last year. It's 2020. Yeah.
December.
Yeah, my game of the year, definitely Cyberpunk. Yeah, definitely Cyberpunk, of course. I think that is a super cool game. Obviously, it has all the bug things that everyone talks about and forgets about the game because of those bugs. that are annoying.
Yeah, unfortunately, it does seem to overshadow the game at times.
Yeah, it's I really pisses me off. It's a super cool game. I like all those the futuristic video games like this one. I played the role game when I was young. You know, the role playing game. When I was younger, this both Cyberpunk and Shadowrun, and I was really hyped about it, and it hasn't disappointed me. Yes, it has bugs. I've been playing it on Stadia, and it works pretty cool on Stadia. And
yeah, Stadia, the version is actually one of the better versions.
Yeah.
You play your Stadia a lot? Is that a preferred version?
No, I mean I've played some Stadia games when it came out, and I think that it works surprisingly well. And I'll probably keep on playing Stadia. Yeah.
Why did you go to the Stadia for Cyberpunk? Just because, or?
No, it's because they had this amazing offer where they gave up, where they gave the Chromecast Ultra and the controller with the when you pre-reserved the game. So yes, I decided to.
It's a good deal.
Yeah, it was a really good deal, and I had tried the Stadia before, and I knew that it worked fine. So I said, why not?
You think Stadia gets some unnecessary, because it does get bagged on a lot. You think Stadia gets a lot of unnecessary criticism, or
maybe, especially because of these weird decisions we're hearing lately about, you know, the older studios being closed, and you know that doesn't help definitely. But as a video game platform, forgetting about the rest of the stuff, I think that it works pretty well, and all the games play really smoothly, and I think that it's a good platform. Yeah,
it's tough because, you know, video gamers are so loyal that, like, the idea of taking them away from their Xbox or their PlayStation or their PC where they are their Steam accounts because they want trophies or whatever, it's such a difficult thing to kind of squeeze in there and be like, no, spend your 50 hours on our device, you know what I mean?
Yeah, there's a lot of fanboyism about that, yeah.
It's very difficult to kind of break in there. Interesting. Do you have a particular, from all the things that you, when you look back on the Cyber Shadow soundtrack, which is really fantastic, do you have a particular favorite that you look back and go, man, I really, really like that song. I'm really proud of that song.
Maybe the track from the Combinatron boss fight. Yeah, maybe it's one of the last tracks I did for the soundtrack. It was made in a very late stage of development, like in the last 2 or 3 months of development, and we decided to do it because the track that we were using for that boss fight wasn't really. I always thought that it didn't really fit, so we decided to put that track that originally was in the Combinatron boss fight. We decided to put that track in the second boss fight, and it didn't. It really fitted much better in that boss fight. So Combinatron 1 was empty, and I did that track, and I really liked it. Yes, I think that it's one of my best. And it was, you know, it's one of the latest tracks, so probably it's one of the tracks that I have listened to fewer times, so that helps.
Yeah, it hasn't been beaten in your brain over.
Yeah,
and over
the rest
and over
of the tracks, I've listened to them so many times that I don't hate them, but I've listened to them too many times, definitely.
Yeah, that's really cool. And you know what? I'll ask my Josh, the guy who produces this, to throw that in as the last track at the end of this podcast when people are listening, so they can hear that boss fight music. So they can get a nice little send off there, because it's just a really incredible soundtrack. Hopefully a lot of people check out Cyber Shadow and the game. You have a very interesting story. Hopefully you do get successful enough, Enrique, to where you can quit your day jobs comfortably, because I think that's the dream, right?
Yeah.
So hopefully this brings in some new offers for you. It's such a cool, inspiring story. One final question. What would be your... the cool thing is your dream game to score at the time would have been a yacht club game. It would have been a Shovel Knight style game before all this magic happened, yeah. Which is such a beautiful story. What would be your right now, if you could say, you know, in a couple years, if I could score or write the composition for this franchise I've always loved, this would be a dream come true. What would it be?
Especially a specific franchise. I don't know.
Well, show your fanboy. What's your franchise?
There are so many, like Castlevania.
What's the one you'd line up for? We can't line up at stores
anymore
because of COVID.
Castlevania games, all the you know, that's all the Mega Man games. I don't know. There are so many. Yeah, all the Square, the old Squaresoft franchises, like, you know, Final Fantasy,
Classic Final Fantasy,
Chrono Trigger, Secret of Mana, all those super cool RPGs.
Okay, so maybe like a JRPG. That'd be cool.
Yeah, that's definitely one thing I want to make music for, an RPG. That's one of my main aims, main targets. Yeah.
I think that I could see that fitting really, really well, actually.
I will also want to make music for more modern-looking games, too. Not get stuck into chiptune, even if I probably would use chiptune-style stuff. But I'd like to make more modern games, too, yeah.
Yeah, kind of diversify a little bit. I'm sure you could do both. And you could have even... I was thinking about that. You could even have a chiptune style soundtrack with a more modern-y kind of game. It would still be awesome too, you know?
Yeah, because
that aesthetic is just so like futuristic. Like you said, you really love cyberpunk. That's sort of that's something I get deeply into as well. Like the whole synth wave cyberpunk scene with all those nice neon colors and stuff. I'm a sucker for that.
Yeah, me too.
it's just great, and that music sort of fits it really well. So. Well, honestly, it's been a pleasure. Thank you so much, Enrique. I've had so much fun learning about you today, and I hope that everyone who listens to this will go check out the OST for Cyber Shadow and the game if they're, you know, brave enough to get through it. I will too. I will get through it, Enrique. I will finish it. Mostly, honestly, I think the game is great, but your music is really what's pulling me through this game because it's kicking my ass so much. So take a lot of pride in that, my friend.
Okay, thank you. Thank you very much for having me.
Yeah, absolutely. My pleasure. And you have a great day.
Thank you very much, and have a great day, too.
Mm-hmm. Thanks for being on In the Blood.